Thanksgiving message this morning is from Luke chapter 17. We finished with the book of 1 Peter, and everybody said, Amen. But this morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And I've titled this, Thankful for Jesus' Love of Lepers. So, Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11. While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with serious skin diseases met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he told them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And while they were going, they were healed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he told him, Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Before we get into that, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful that I get to spend Thanksgiving with them. I'm grateful that I get to be in constant communication with them if I desire. I'm grateful that we can have fun. We play games. I'm grateful that my girls have grown up to be young, beautiful women. I'm grateful that the Lord has given me a family. Because when I was a kid, child and surviving alone with my mom, my only desire and my prayer was that the Lord would bless me with a family someday. And that everything that I saw and experienced with my mom, those things that I saw that ended in destruction, hurt feelings, loneliness, that I would not do the same thing. That I would raise my children differently. And then I met Jesus. And then I knew that things could be different. That things could change. Because it had to start with me. It was okay for me to think I knew what was best, but as soon as I met Jesus, then I knew what was best. So I'm thankful for that. Last night, we had this eternal question that we dealt with at our family table. And I'll ask you the same question. Maybe we'll have a debate. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Agree or disagree? We got one disagree? Agree. Oh, we got an agree. We played this game last night called Dissent. And basically, you take the role of justices, chief justice, and you have all these issues that are presented towards you, and then you have to vote and form arguments and try to sway one another to your side so that you actually win the game and win points. This was one of the questions. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Well, we decided that we disagreed. That a hot dog is a hot dog. There's nothing that can match a hot dog. Because a sandwich has two pieces of bread. A hot dog has only one piece of bread that's cut in half. See? It's split. It's split, but it's encased, right? We're thankful that we can have fun. But I am thankful above all things that Jesus loves lepers. I remember as a preteen getting much relief when I went and met a new friend called David. Mom and I had just moved out to Guelph, Ontario, following her new husband. The marriage lasted 3 months, and Mom and I were now alone in a strange place where we knew nobody. We were far from family, who lived in Alberta and BC. We had no way of getting home, since Mom could not work and had no savings. We would have to bide our time until Mom could manage to save some extra money. But then how do you save money when you have next to nothing in the first place? How does a single mom on disability raising a child on her own finance a cross-country move and then set up a new place starting from scratch? Well, Mom's answer was, you gamble with what you do have to make more, and you play bingo. Mom was actually pretty lucky, but I now think of that as being God's providence. He was attempting to look out for us. Well, Mom struck up a friendship with a lady at the bingo parlor. And to my surprise, she was a single mom also, doing the same thing, raising her own son. You see, single moms at that time were a new thing in Western culture and society. Traditional family units of a dad working and a mom at home raising the children was still the norm. Feminism was not yet established, but was beginning to make inroads. To have no dad at home was abnormal. Parent-teacher nights were embarrassing and shameful because all my classmates showed up with both their mom and dad. I was not truly aware as to how stressful and taxing it was for my mom to support us. And I was even less aware of the stress and anxiety and ostracization she endured in being a single mom. We never did hang out with married people with kids. So as two abnormal family units, we found support and strength in one another and spent a lot of time together. I was very thankful to have a friend. David and I would typically hang out at his place because he had way cooler things than I did in my apartment. Mom and Darlene would typically go together to bingo, smoke cigarettes, and hang out. A family of lepers was formed. I say lepers because leprosy was and is a disease of social death. To be a single mom with a child was assumed to be the result of a loose woman fooling around outside of marriage, or a woman who had something wrong with her. If she was a widow, who would want to raise a child not theirs? Simply to have a relationship with a single mom or a child was not acceptable. Just as leprosy was and is not acceptable today or yesterday. Leprosy is not something that we typically see much of anymore today, at least not in the Western world, or depending on what social class you keep. But if you contracted leprosy, you were unclean and abnormal. Leprosy is known today as Hansen's disease. Leprosy is a bacterial infection that can lead to the damage of the nerves, respiratory tract, skin, and eyes. It can result in the lack of the ability to feel pain, which can lead to the loss of a person's body parts from repeated injuries or infections due to unnoticed wounds. It can also result in muscle weakness and poor eyesight. Nerve endings numb, skin thickens and blisters with depigmentation that results in blotches of whitened flesh. Leprosy is spread between people through a cough or contact with fluid from the nose of a person infected. Leprosy occurs most commonly among people living in poverty and one being in extensive contact with one who is infected. If you contracted leprosy in Israel, you were not allowed to take part in the regular activities of society. You were removed from society and isolated. And you were having to warn anyone who came near you, you had to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" In Scripture, leprosy is referred to by its description as white as snow or as a skin disease. Not all skin diseases were Hansen disease or leprosy. The Greek word is lepra that refers to a scaly or rough patch of skin and conditions including psoriasis, ringworm, and even eczema. In the ancient Israel, leprosy was the result of being unclean or polluted rather than a contagion. It was also believed to result because of one's lack of spiritual belief and or purity toward God. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Israel, doubted the sovereignty of God until he dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times and his skin was restored to the condition of a young boy. 2 Kings 5, 1-15. Naaman then proclaimed, and his whole company went back to the man of God, stood before him and declared, "I know there's no God in the whole world except in Israel. Therefore, please accept a gift from your servant." You see, Naaman doubted. And he thought any old pool of water would do, not just the Jordan River. But then a prophet spoke to him and said, "Why would you turn down a gift horse in the mouth?" And so Naaman went and he dipped in the water 7 times, and lo and behold, his skin was restored. And he returned and he gave praise and glory to God. According to Leviticus, the person, their clothing, and their habitation were declared unclean and were destroyed with fire. The person was not allowed to participate in society until they were deemed clean by the priest because they could infect the whole community and cause the whole community to become unclean, therefore unholy before God. Therefore, they were not acceptable or accepted. Leviticus 13-14. You see, Israel was a collectivist society and culture, meaning that they derived their identity and status as a group, and as God's chosen people, they were set aside to be holy to Him, as we are instructed to be as well today. Leviticus 20:26, "You are to be holy to me because I, Yahweh, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be mine." 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You see, collectivist persons derive their identity from the group rather than from individual status and achievements. A collectivist primarily is responsible to the members of the group and the development of the group and its goals. Personal preferences are subordinate to the will of the group. This is why to be ostracized from society was so debilitating for lepers, or anyone for that matter. You no longer had any identity. You were nothing. You were good as dead. You were only seen as a threat to society, to health, and to holiness. The verdict would have been, you must have done something pretty sinful before God, and the skin disease was the evidence. Therefore, people would have a burning desire to be cleansed and obtain purification. That's the scene that we come upon in the book of Luke in this chapter. You have 10 lepers that are burning with desire to be cleansed, to be purified so that they can get back into society, so that they once again can have identity, so once again they can have relationships and value. But that had not happened yet. Lepers could wait for 20 years, 30 years. A lot of lepers died in their condition, ostracized from society. The only way that a leper could be proclaimed clean was he had to go before the priest, and the priest would check him out, and then there was a whole process that they had to go through. And if at the end of that process you were still clean and there was no other evidence of the skin disease remaining, you were pronounced clean and you could return. Question is this: do we know any lepers today? Anyone that doesn't fit into society today? Anyone that does not fit into my rationale or my thinking? What do you think a leper's number one desire is? To belong, to be accepted. Just as David and Darlene accepted my mom and I, lepers gather together for acceptance, for support, and for strength when nobody else will accept them. Our society is full of lepers looking for acceptance and support. Am I willing to love a leper? They may not necessarily have the skin affliction, but they carry the emotional and the spiritual damage of being treated so. And I'm speaking in they. It may actually be some of us, we. They may have a different mindset and a different worldview, but they are still God's creation, made in His image, loved by God. When you and I met Jesus, were we whole or were we a leper? Think about it. Jesus met us where we were and where we are, just as Jesus met the lepers where they were, even a Samaritan, a half-Jew, a half-Gentile, a half-breed, who was ostracized from Israel, even though they were a brother or sister. They cried out for grace and mercy just as we did and do today. And Jesus met their need, their desire to be clean and not be ostracized. Are we meeting that need with the lepers today? Are we being Jesus' hands and feet? Have we put on Jesus' attitude and heart or the world's? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Amen? Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What's that verse say? We were all lepers at one time or another. The most disturbing thing about COVID today is that lepers are being created due to a free choice to be jabbed or not. Lines are being drawn and people are ostracized from societies, from families, from communities because of their consciences on both sides of the problem. And not just in the world, but in the church as well. Jesus did not call His bride to be divided, but to be unified in the primary things and to allow liberty in the secondary things. But above all things, to be united in and under Jesus, so that the world may come to know and believe in Jesus and His love. Amen? So is our attitude to unite or is it to divide? Are we uniting or are we dividing? Are we living by fear or by faith, by love or by hate? Do I respect my brother and sister's conscience of conviction of the Holy Spirit? Or do I lead them to sin, entice them to do so on both sides? Just as Jesus told the lepers to go and show themselves to the priest, and as they went, they were healed. As they exercised faith, they had the desire of their hearts answered. What is the desire of our hearts today? It's to go back to normal, to be accepted, to be thought well of. What do we want Jesus to do for us? What do I want Jesus to do for me? That's the key thing. The lepers cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." What were they crying out? "Jesus, we want to be healed. Make us clean. We don't want to be ostracized from community anymore. We want to be part of the group. We want to be accepted. We don't want to suffer anymore." And what does Jesus say? He says, "Turn and go to the priest and show yourself." You think they maybe stopped? And we're like, "Just a second, Jesus. Something needs to happen first." But no, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." We don't read of any hesitation here. What we do read is they turned and they went. And what happened? As they went, they were healed. What was that? Faith. It's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. As they exercise faith, they have the desire of their hearts answered. What is the desire of our hearts today? What do we want Jesus to do for us? To me, it is to be faithful to God in all things, no matter how discouraging or fearful things might get. Lord, help me to be faithful to you. To live by faith and not by sight, as God encourages in Hebrews 11:6 and 2 Corinthians 5:7. Hebrews 11:6, "Now without faith it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him." And 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Amen. As Jesus answers the desires of our hearts, what will our response be? The Samaritan leper is the only one who returned to give glory to God. He fell face down in gratitude, not in gratitude, as the 9 Israelites remained. That's stunning, is it not? That out of 10 lepers who were healed of a society-killing association and identity, only one returned to give glory to God. Only one returned to give thanks. Now, it says the other 9, and some commentaries say the other 9, well, there was a tradition there, is that if you return to say thank you to somebody, you are actually ending the relationship. So the understanding here is that the Samaritan returned to Jesus because he thought, "I may never ever get another chance to say thank you to Jesus." So he returns back to Jesus as his one and only shot to thank Jesus and give glory to him. And the other 9, because they didn't return and say thank you, the relationship was still open, because maybe they didn't exactly have the faith that this would last. And so they may need to return back to Jesus to get a second anointing. I don't know if I put a whole lot of, what do you want to call it, belief or faith in that. But that is what some commentators say. But I can't fathom that I would not return to somebody who did something incredible for me and gave me life. I would not return to say thank you. Not only just to say thank you, but is there anything that I can do for you? How can I repay you for what you've done for me? Amen? As Jesus answers the desires of our hearts, what will our response be? Because Jesus has done something incredible for each one of us. He's given us life as we've come to him. As we've believed in him and trusted in him, he's given us life. Give thanks for what you do not have as of yet or experienced yet in the physical. But knowing above all things that your soul is secure with Christ on the day that you and I die physically. Because we have chosen to believe in the one and only Son and to follow him. And to accept his gift of love, his gift of salvation. Not just to be healed temporarily on this earth, but to have an everlasting relationship that is healed forever. And that's what Jesus said to the Samaritan. He said, are you the only one that's returned to give glory to God? A foreigner? One that really doesn't know any better or doesn't really know me? You've heard the stories about me. You sought me out for healing. I've healed you. And you, the foreigner, return to give thanks and glory to God. Faith has come to this house this day. And salvation is yours. You've been healed. Completely. What kind of healing do we want? The temporary kind? That's nice. But the forever kind is better. Helen Keller wrote, I thank God for my handicaps. Through them I have found myself, my work, and my God. How does one develop a heart of gratitude instead of ingratitude? Give God glory for the things you have received, where God has led, who God is. Luke 7:47, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much, but the one who is forgiven little loves little. He who is forgiven much thanks God much. He who thanks God much loves much. Do I have an attitude of gratitude? The story of the balloonist who wanted to take a trip over the Alps. He'd carefully planned his whole itinerary for each day as to where he would go, where he was going to land, where he was going to take off to. But the funny thing is each day he would land in a different location. Remember, you're traveling in a balloon. Anybody ever taken a balloon ride? Blaine and Bobby Joe just took one this summer. And it was funny, they were telling us the story about it. It was like when they took off and when they landed. Well, it was only supposed to be like a two-hour trip, right, Lynette? Is that what it was scheduled for? Or less than that, even? But they went way over time because they couldn't find a place to land because the balloon was going wherever it wanted to go. I personally don't know about taking a balloon ride. That makes me nervous. But each day the balloon would land in a different location. And each time he landed, invariably the man said, I didn't know about this place. Had I known, I would have planned to land here. Instead of being disappointed, each day was a delightful surprise. Are my days a disappointment or a delightful surprise? When my balloon lands somewhere unexpected, is my attitude gratitude or ingratitude? Is it one of rejoicing or one of sorrow? Instead, I should choose to rejoice and see what the Lord has for me. 10 lepers sought the Lord Jesus for healing. All 10 were healed, but only one was made well by his faith. Salvation comes to the one who has faith in Jesus to meet all our needs. I am thankful and grateful for Jesus' love of the lepers, because without his love, I would be lost, because I'm one of those lepers. Sermon in a sentence. Beware of your attitude, because ingratitude is more deadly than leprosy. Only gratitude can lead one to be whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.